the guy literally went, oh no, what did I do? And grabbed his own helmet, was like, what did I do? Mm-hmm. Here's what I don't understand. What's the point of the eye in the sky thing that I've seen multiple times this year?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, and it's not subjective like a hold. It's pretty clear.
Mm-hmm.
Darnold could have been hurt. I don't even care. Like, again, I'm not some Darnold fanboy. Right. I don't care one way or the other. Thought he played really well. He could have got hurt. He was literally tackled and ripped back. That is the definition of tackling someone by the face mask. It made no sense. Do I think they were going to win the game?
Probably not.
But you're taking it out of their hands and you're ending it. And then this opens up as a non-gambler. I ask if you are a gambler on that game, if you have fantasy implications on that game, you kind of got screwed.
Yeah, the over-under in that game was 46.5, so it was already hitting the over. Minnesota was minus 2.5, so you maybe had a last-ditch effort to, you know, hey, maybe they're going to go 97, 98 yards to tie the football game up because they needed a two-point conversion. But you took it right out of their hands. Everybody's crazy. You see Justin Jefferson slam his helmet. He went crazy. Kevin O'Connor, the head coach of the Vikings, I think he's got to show more emotion. He throw a headset, something, because that's just ridiculous.
Well, here's the problem in that situation.
The referee's looking right at him.
Well, but here's the problem if you're the head coach. Nothing's going to change. Like, they can't fix it. And that's the problem that I have with some of the rules when it comes to challenges. What you can't, if me on my couch has seen 17 replays in 10 seconds and you and I can both say clear face mask penalty, we've got to fix the rules so that you can change this. I don't understand what we're doing.
No doubt. Here's Kevin O'Connell on the play.
You know, it looked like you got a pretty good amount of face mask there. Not going to get into the call or no call and all that stuff. It's just I told our team officiating and all that stuff, like, for us to talk about that, for us to seek comfort in that is not how we're going to respond to this. It's just not going to happen. And I'm going to do the same thing right now. I really don't have a comment on whether it looked like you got a piece of the face mask, but they didn't think so. So they didn't throw the flag.
All right, that's Kevin O'Connell. Here's what Sam Darnold had to say.
Darnold?
Excuse me, my bad. That was just a face mask call. My bad. I thought it was post-game sound. Sam Darnold probably didn't speak. He probably was ticked off because, look, we got matching New York hats. As the World Series starts today, game number one, Dodgers-Yankees. Let's go, Yankees. My Yankees looking to get their 28th pennant, baby. 28th World Series, I should say. The Yankees. But back to that game. The face mask call itself, the Rams dominated. They're getting healthy. And all the rumors about Cooper Kupp being traded, Sean McVay says right after the game, that's not happening anymore. That's not happening anymore. And you think about this Rams team. A lot of people picked them to win the NFC West this season. They start off the season losing to Detroit in overtime, Sunday Night Football. They drop the 0-2. They're all beat up. They have a desperation game against the 49ers. Nobody's playing. And they get life after getting smoked by the Arizona Cardinals. They still won against the Niners. They lose a couple more to Green Bay. They lose to Chicago. And it's like, oh, the Rams. Maybe we could put them in our rearview mirror. But all of a sudden, they get 2 wins in 5 days. 2 wins in 5 days. And this is why you can't mess around with games in the NFL. They will come back to bite you in the ass if you're the 49ers. And now instead of being 5-2, you're 3-4. Basically playing for your season.
I would like to have a Matt Stafford conversation right now. I was wrong. I'm going to say that on the front end. As a long time, I'm going back to Georgia Tech. I mean, like, dire as the running back.
You mean Georgia Bulldogs?
No, I'm going back to Calvin Johnson. I have been a Calvin Johnson truther since day one. And so I always had him in fantasy. It would be me and my boy Della. I would try to fight to overdraft him every single year, even though for many years he was at the top of the draft. So I've always been a Calvin Johnson truther. And I've always kind of looked at Matt Stafford with a side eye. Knew that he put up great fantasy numbers, but it was like, and you know what? I dramatically underrated how great this guy is. I just did. And I did not want the 49ers to make the move for him. I thought he was too old. He was 33 years old when the Rams made the trade for him. And part of this is that Detroit had a guy who was in L.A. who liked Goff and wanted Goff maybe a little more than maybe they wanted Jimmy Garoppolo. So that I can't speak to. But in terms of the Niners being aggressive, if Tom Brady is 1A, one of the great regrets via free agency trades, etc., The second one is Stafford. Like, I'm now
in the Shanahan era, it's Stafford.
1B? Well, in terms of like a trade or a free agency that they could have made for quarterback. Yep. Like, if Brady's 1A, like, not far behind him is Stafford. Stafford's mobile. He is very much more cerebral than I gave him credit for. He is such a good leader behind a porous offensive line. He does a great job to kind of do the audibles and the checks at the line to be able to keep the blitz from pressuring him. His arm is unbelievable. It is. Does he throw it up? Yeah, he does throw it up from time to time. Bonte, I'm just looking at his raw numbers since he's gotten to the Rams, and he's had some injury seasons. 33 years old in 2021, year one, 12-5, 41 touchdowns, 17 interceptions, nearly 5,000 yards, with the second greatest playoff performance from a thrower ever. He went 4-0, 70% completion, 9 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, averaged 300 yards a game with a 108 quarterback rating. He had 2 in the NFC and Super Bowl fourth quarter comebacks, and one of them was against our Niners. It's hard for me to sit here and say that the Niners didn't blow that. And I, in real time, did not want Stafford. I was wrong. He's really good. I underrated him. Matt Stafford, I apologize.
Matt Stafford, you know, you think about it, and there's some friction with him and McVay, whether or not he was going to get a contract extension. The play to Cooper Kupp where he ducks under a sack and he makes something happen out of the pocket and finds Cooper Kupp in the back of the end zone. I think what I underrated with Matthew Stafford, because I would have him in fantasy, which is why I didn't want him as a Niners quarterback. I'm like, dude, he's a stat patter. Yeah, I don't want him.
I agree with that.
And I wanted, my mind was fixated on Deshaun Watson.
Okay.
That's just where I was at right there. Now, things happen with Deshaun Watson. You back off of that. But the fact that Shanahan said, hey, let me get back to you. Let me get back to Detroit. And McVay came in and scooped in while they're all in Cabo. And they go meet up for dinner. He's like, wow, you got Matthew Stafford. I did not think any of it. I didn't think the Niners. And for that matter, the Niners have beat the Rams up. They had won 9-10. But the one game they lost was in that NFC Championship game. And he didn't lead a fourth quarter comeback after throwing one up to Jaworski's heart. But I think what I underrated with Matthew Stafford is his toughness. Because in that Detroit game last year, the wild card game, he got beat up hit after hit after hit after hit. And he just kept getting up off the turf. And I said, you want to know what? This guy's tougher than I thought. And then you see him last night. You see him this season. Hell, we saw him in week 3 down at SoFi Stadium. They had no business winning that football game. He's got no Puka. He's got no Cooper Kupp. Kyron Williams is not getting anything on the ground. And yet they just kept battling and battling and battling. And Matt Stafford, he can hit the check down, the intermediate stuff. And then if you don't pay attention, he will go over the top and throw that deep ball on you. And he had Tutu Atwell going down the sideline. His recognition on who's out there, what the formations are, getting the Rams into the right check. Matthew Stafford's balling, man. And you know what? I'm a little concerned about the Rams now. I am. Because that's a big-time win for them. Thursday night football huge against the Minnesota Vikings. And all of a sudden, the Vikings are falling back to the pack. Look, this NFC is wide open, folks. It is wide open. That's why it's imperative for the Niners to win on Sunday. They've got to win on Sunday to stabilize their season and get back in the mix of the NFC West.
You know, it's interesting. Like, we're talking so much about quarterbacks. How much is a quarterback worth, right? At the end of the day, I think I'm coming down to this. It's not always going to be the case, but like, do I think you could throw your team from behind and put them on your back?
Yeah.
When the chips are against you. And I think that that's the way I'm now. Like, are you one of those guys that I think down 8, 9, 10 points, whatever it is, the ball's in your hand. Do I truly fear that you are going to be able to figure it out and get your team back? Like, we talked a lot about Brett Favre and Russell Wilson. They would pull these rabbits out of their hat. Stafford's in that category, right? No doubt. Terms of guys that, like, definitely when the chips are against him, that dude is going to sling it. Josh Allen, I feel that way. Lamar Jackson, I feel that way. Clearly, Patrick Mahomes, I feel that way.
Stafford has some of those crazy comebacks in Detroit. Remember the Cowboy game way back when? He no timeouts, like a minute left, and they throw a bomb to Calvin Johnson, for crying out loud.
Down 17-7 in the fourth quarter. He starts off that fourth quarter with a touchdown pass to Cooper Kupp in the NFC Championship game, then drives for 2 more field goals. Then it's a Jimmy Garoppolo interception, and the Niners are going home. So, then in the Super Bowl, he has another touchdown in the fourth quarter and another comeback. Like,
so are you saying,
man?
Are you saying, do the 49ers have that quarterback right now? Do the 49ers have that quarterback right now in Brock Purdy?
Can he lead them back down six
in a fourth quarter? Now, you know what? They were down 24-7 to Detroit. It came back that halftime in the NFC Championship game.
Am I being too stuck in the minutia to say it wasn't like a late fourth quarter comeback?
Maybe.
The drive against Green Bay, I thought was more impressive given how bad he played all game.
Yeah.
To pick it up and make that drive in the rain, nothing was going right for him. Well, like Brock was awesome in that one.
What about the drive against Dallas, divisional round game 2 years ago?
That was a great throw to Kittle. I mean,
third down. Did he have the third down throw to Ayuk?
Everything felt so tight in that game too. That's it. Yeah.
I mean, but...
No, that's a good one.
But it sounds like you don't want to see more.
Yeah, that's...
You don't know if he's that guy yet.
Am I being too, like, prisoner of the moment?
Well, Jimmy, you know, as much as we disrespect Jimmy, you know, that's a problem. We're going to play some Klay Thompson highlights, and I want us all as a fan base at least to try to respect our legends that have been here in the Bay Area. I got really annoyed yesterday, you know, because it just felt like we're just kicking our legends out the door. I saw it with Kevin Durant. I saw it with Jordan Poole. I saw it with Klay Thompson. See it with Jimmy Garoppolo. And Jimmy Garoppolo, we laugh about him as well. But Jimmy Garoppolo was a damn good 49er.
Yeah.
And you know what? Jimmy Garoppolo has some fourth quarter comebacks. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, he did.
He had some late drive, execution, backs against the wall. Let's get in a position to score either a touchdown or a field goal. Now, the problem with the Niners is they've been blowing teams out.
But he didn't have it in the playoffs. And I don't mean he was good in the regular season. I think the big differentiator, like Stafford, for example, Stafford, Jimmy, it's like I watched Stafford do it multiple times in the playoffs in that run. Jimmy's fourth quarter is really, in the playoffs, fell short.
It wasn't pretty. It wasn't pretty at all, but they had those leads.
That's true.
Had double-digit leads. So, but he didn't have those. I get it. He didn't have the fourth quarter comeback, like the Brady's or whatnot. We haven't seen it yet for Brock. That's why that's the next evolution with Brock Purdy. There's a lot of eyes on him. We're going to get Mike Tirico on at 720. We'll get Mike Bassick on at 650. Mike Bassick from 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. You know he's a big-time Mavericks fan. We get to Klay Thompson with him and what's going down on Sunday at Levi Stadium between the Niners and the Cowboys. And Ron Adams, late addition to the show at 9 o'clock, assistant head coach of the Golden State Warriors. He'll join us and talk some Dubs and Utah Jazz tonight in Salt Lake City. And don't forget, all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? But that was the most annoying thing about last night, was that the Rams knew they needed that game. Their season was on the line. They lose that game, they're hitting the phones today, and they're trading everybody. They win that game, and they're saying, Seahawks are 4-3? They play Buffalo on Sunday? They travel to Seattle next Sunday for a 125 game as the Niners fans, and the Niners are on the bye week? They have a chance to take hold of this division and go on a run here. And you know what? They're as dangerous as any team in the NFC. We saw them go to Detroit and take them to overtime. We saw them lose by one in the playoffs to Detroit. Now, maybe Detroit just has their number. Who knows? But all of a sudden, the Niners messing around with these football games early in the season. And now you look at their schedule, the Rams, Seattle, Dolphins, Patriots, home game against the Eagles. They go to New Orleans against the beat-up Saints team. They got Buffalo at home. They got the Niners. They got the Jets. Like, it's all for them. They're thinking right now in L.A., Sean McVay and company, who, there's another conversation when it comes to McVay and Shanahan that, you know, that I'm scared to open it up to. All of a sudden, McVay and company said, we've done this before. We've touched the Lombardi. We've got the Super Bowl quarterback. We've got the Super Bowl MVP in Cooper Kupp. I got a young stud in Puka Nacua that nobody could defend one-on-one. I got Kyren Williams running between the tackles, falling forward for 4 or 5 yards on pop. And this is the young defensive line. It's no-name defense. My boy out of Florida State, Verse, is starting to come along and make a name for himself. The Rams are a problem now, and I'm pissed off right now because they are a problem, and I know they're a problem, and the Niners got to get their act in order, man. They really, really do right now. It's a massive game on Sunday, folks.
The other element of watching that game last night, and look, when you watch football, these are the things that come across your mind, and if you don't think other football people, like we've now seen Peyton Manning, Eli, and Bill Belichick do weeks upon weeks of just talking ball, okay? They're just talking ball. The conversations, no, yes, they're way more technical in terms of X's and O's and things like that. They sound a lot like the conversations you and your friends have. And I think that more executives talk the way we actually talk as sports fans than people want to give it credit for. I'm watching that game last night, and I'm also going, damn, Sam Darnold does look good.
Huh.
I'm not some Sam Darnold truther. I've been skeptical every step of the way. He made plays last night. Now,
What boy jumped the shirt? Not to cut you off. What about the play where Naylor's improvises? He's about to run to the line of scrimmage. His linebacker comes up. He tosses it on the third down. Receiver just drops it.
Naylor's got to catch that ball. In the red zone. He's got to catch that ball. But, like, Darnold looks good. I mean, like, it's okay to admit it. And I'm saying to myself, okay, what's Minnesota going to do with Darnold next year?
He's going to be a free agent.
Derrick Henry was a great free agent pickup this year. Everyone agrees.
Yep.
The second one for whatever, $8-9 million, Sam Darnold's not far behind.
He's not far behind.
Sam Darnold, if I'm a Minnesota Viking fan, I'm questioning the J.J. McCarthy thing. I'm saying, are we sure we're ready to get rid of Sam Darnold? He's been good for them.
We'll see. We'll see about that. No doubt. We're going to go behind enemy lines with our good friend Mike Bassick, former Major League Baseball pitcher, 105.3 The Fan, also calls Ranger games. He's done it all down there in the Metroplex. He'll talk Cowboys. He'll talk Mavericks. It's Clay Thompson had his debut. Clay Thompson, 6 threes. Mavs record in the Mavericks debut. Clay was looking good, and he was getting wide open shots. Oh, my Lord. Oklahoma City last night. Oh, did you watch them against Denver? Denver might be done. They look slow. They looked a little older. And Mike Malone may be panicking because they have no bench.
I thought they were a dynasty. And I don't know if you guys know this, but they've only won one. But I thought they were a dynasty.
No. That dynasty's over.
Poor Mike Malone.
Sacramento.
It's not like I didn't like him.
Sacramento. Well, at least he got one, Mike Malone. Give him credit for that.
No, he literally won his first, and it was amazing, yeah. And then started talking about dynasty.
Well, I know. Well,
he got a little over his britches.
He got a little arrogant. Got a little arrogant. And now that run is over in Denver. That run is over.
And their finances are very tricky moving forward.
Yeah,
if you look at the money they have to Michael Porter and everybody.
They just gave Eric Gordon a big extension. They gave Eric Gordon an extension. So they're tough. They're in a tough situation in Sacramento. They weren't lighting the beam last night. and it 8-9-5-7-9-5-7-0. See, I didn't play the We Ready song today because I don't think Niner fans are ready from what I've heard this week.
Let's get into it.
There's a lot of scared. There's a lot of nervous energy around these parts. That's what's coming up, brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Valvoline Instant Oil Change is your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit the friendly expert technicians at your local Valvoline Instant Oil Change to check fluids, tire pressure, windshield wipers, batteries, and much, much more. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com.
Off running the football. Whoa, I don't think this is going to work out.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, the official gets in the way. The game's over.
Gosh.
The game is over.
Oh, he did.
Oh, they're going to look at this.
It's going to be over because the umpire has to touch the ball. Of course, that's ridiculous for a game to end like that, Jim.
That's the end of the game. The game is over. The game is over, and San Francisco survives and advances.
Now, back to the Morning Roast with Fonte and Shasky.
That was Niners Cowboys, January 16th, 2022. Of course, the regular season was 2021. First wild card game down in Big D, and the Niners were rolling 23-7 in that football game. And that was Dak Prescott at the end. They had a play. They tried to spike it. They couldn't get the spike off in time. Game over. Niners escape. They go to Lambeau Field the next Saturday, beat up on the Packers before losing to the Rams in the NFC Championship game. And that was a fun game. That was CBS Sports, Jim Nantz, Tony Romo, which was weird that it was on CBS Sports and it wasn't on Fox, Cowboys, Niners. When you think about Cowboys, Niners, you think about Fox and somewhere all in that or whatnot. But anyway, Nantz and Romo were cool on that game. Jimmy Garoppolo in that one. 16-25, 172. He had the egregious interception.
Oh, he was throwing into no man's land.
It flipped the entire football game.
Was that the one where Ayuk was wide open?
No, that was another play. The post corner route.
He was wide open.
And he threw it into the sideline. Yeah, I was perfect vantage point. Remember, I flew down and got COVID in Texas. Maybe I took COVID with me or came back with COVID. But anyway, it was a great trip. It was a lifetime memory. It was a lot of fun. I went down there by myself. Met some great Niner fans like Marcus Bosworth, my boy Santana, and met a lot of great people down there. We ran into our boy, the Hitty coach, Donnie Ecker.
Donnie Ecker.
Who's now with the Rangers. He's a World Series champion after moving on from the Giants. that was the first of a couple beatdowns by the 49ers to the Dallas Cowboys. The next year, they meet in the playoffs. The Niners beat them. And, of course, last year in the regular season, Niners beat them 42-10. So they beat them with Jimmy. They beat them with Brock. They've got some oldies over the Cowboys.
The Cowboys currently are in a real big, tough spot. This is a huge moment in their season. It sounds like Micah's not going to play.
Yeah,
I'm looking at their run defense. Bonte, they give up almost 150 yards per game.
Yeah, they don't stop it.
That's eighth worst. And they've played two of the worst run offenses already. That number would be close to 185 if you took those two games out per game. So the Niners have to be able to establish the run in this one. They also, though, give up almost 8 yards per pass, which is seventh worst.
Yep.
So you're looking at a team right now in the Dallas Cowboys, the defense just isn't there. They don't stop the run. They're giving up big chunk plays in the pass. This is a game for the offense to get right. And then I look at the Niners and I'm like, you got a bunch of young and unproven wide receivers playing with no Brandon Ayuk. I'm just going to think that Debo is going to be limited. I mean, maybe he'll suit up. I don't know.
Sounds like he might give it a go. But look, Pearsall's going to get elevated on the depth chart. I got to figure that Jacob Cowie will get more run.
He should.
And you got to run the ball up these guys' throats. You've got to run the ball. Run the ball. And get pretty comfortable. Play action passes. This defense is not good. The Cowboys don't belong on the same field as the 49ers. Just keep it a buck. They do not belong on the same field as the 49ers.
Why do you say that? Like, this year's Niner team has been very inconsistent.
They have been very inconsistent. But if the Niners are buttoned up, the Cowboys don't belong on the same field as them. If the Niners are playing up to their capabilities, which we've yet to see, I get it. We've yet to see it. And you're probably not going to have Juwan Jennings, but you have the better head coach. You have the better quarterback. You have the better running back. You have the better defensive end. You have the better middle linebacker. You have the better secondary. You may have the better offensive line, which is kind of crazy to say. You got the better team. You got the better roster. And you're at home.
You brought up Dak by breaking down the quarterbacks. Him and CD have not been as effective this year as they've been in years past. 58% of his targets have been caught. That's Dak targeting CD. That's like almost 60th in the league.
Training camp.
Well, no question. And then the other part of this, last year, he caught 75% of his passes that were coming his way. Their red zone offense is 30th in the NFL, and Dak himself has 3 turnovers in the last two weeks in the red zone.
Yep.
So all the same issues the Niners have been having offensively and defensively, it feels like the Dallas Cowboys have as well. This feels like a turning point for one of the two teams in this game.
It definitely is. Let's go to Lucky in the City. Lucky, what's happening?
What's up, Lucky? Roast.
Man, what's up, fellas? How y'all doing this morning?
Doing good, Lucky. Doing good.
Now, you know, I heard the statement that you made, man, that a lot of the Niners fans having this nervous energy. What are you nervous for? We've been down this road before. It's just like in the city. You know, you walk through the hood, Vontae, you know, you might have a few battles on your way to school, but you make it to school, you do your work.
Absolutely.
Right, Booker Boy?
Absolutely. Yeah. You're not lying.
Hell yeah.
You can keep your head on the swivel, okay. No doubt.
you keep your head on the swivel. So the Niners, man, need to have their head on the swivel, and whoever we have left on the team, I don't care who it is, step up. It's time. It's your opportunity. I don't care if you're a first round, second round, Ruster, rookie, Jacob Cowie, Pearsall, all of them. Evan Anderson, step up, man. I'll say this, Vontae and Butcher Boy. Push come to shove, man. Tell Kyle Shanahan to give me a call. Email me, man. I'll come out there and play some DB for him, man. I'll come out there and run a screen play for him, man.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm serious.
That's what I'm talking about,
Lucky. I'm serious, man. Vontae.
Yeah, I love your energy. Like, that's what I'm talking about. No scared energy, man. They've been, like you said, they've been down this road before. This core has been down this road before. Get on your ass. Get out of your A game. Stay on your blocks. Get after the quarterback and win a freaking football game and turn this damn season around.
Look, it's time, Butcher Boy, for the Niners to lace their boots up, put on their hard hats. And I hear you talking about Stafford, Butcher Boy. That kind of hurts my heart. Brock Purdy is our dude. Give him a chance, man. Hasn't he proved it to you guys? Yes. From day one, give him a shot. Let's roll. Niners, let's go, baby.
All right, Lucky's all right, Lucky. Ready. Lucky's ready to roll. I'm not mad at that.
Is that the first I'm ready to roll call we've gotten all week about Cowboys Niners?
We had one yesterday. Our boy, was it somebody at Hayward, I want to say? Somebody called when I went on my little Jerry Jones rant. Somebody, Waterman.
Yes,
at Quarter
yes.
Madera was fired up about it. But I've been walking around town, come keep my ear to the street. Everybody wants to talk Warriors. Warriors, 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 Warriors. And I'm cool with that. Everybody wants to talk Warriors. It's week eight. We don't want to talk 49ers either. Is that what's going on around here? We that shook. We don't want to talk. It's Niners and Cowboys, for crying out loud.
On Sunday Night Football.
Sunday Night Football. Mike Tirico.
What jerseys are the Niners wearing?
The throwbacks, right?
Is it the red?
Yeah, throwbacks.
With the white
red
pants?
White. Yeah.
What are the Cowboys wearing?
They're a little white and whatever.
I like when they wear the Navy star thing where like the shoulders are blue, like dark blue. I like those ones. The 94
the
throwbacks.
Oh, the 94 throwbacks.
I do. I like those
throwbacks.
Ones. I think
yeah,
those are really cool.
No, we could look at the jerseys they're wearing during the break. The uniform codes or whatnot. I didn't know the Rams were wearing their jerseys yesterday. What do you call those?
The bone
jerseys. They do look kind of sick, though. They've kind of warmed up on me.
One thing I was thinking watching that game, just to throw something your way, I've thought about, like, hey, man, the Rams are always injured so much. It's that damn turf.
SoFi Stadium.
Yeah, it's the turf. They've got to put grass in there.
Yeah.
That team is consistently injured. The Vikings lost their left tackle to a very bad knee injury. I'm not saying it's because of the turf, yeah. but that could change their season.
Well, he got rolled up on, and it changed the second half for the Minnesota Vikings.
100%.
Darnold had no time to throw the football. No time to throw. So that was a problem for them, and that's a problem for them moving forward as they fight that division. And all of a sudden, the Vikings have come back down to earth. The Lions are lighting them up. The Rams are lighting them up. They're giving up the run. They're not getting pressure on the quarterback. They could be another team in the mix on another pass rusher, too. So,
what did McVay do last night against Brian Flores' defense that we didn't see from Kyle Shanahan?
Well, I just thought he manipulated. He attacked them. He wasn't. He had an answer for their blitzes.
It was crazy.
And like, I don't know if Minnesota even blitzed that much. They were like dropping off. Well, and they were showing so much. You know what it was? It was almost as if Brian Flores didn't respect the Niners' receiving core and their offensive line. So he said, just go get Brock Purdy.
What about
we're
going to
play man defense, or go get Brock Purdy.
Because it feels like Stafford made some really dynamic throws.
And he made some dynamic throws. But Minnesota was dropping guys back in zone. I didn't see any heat. They weren't trying to heat up Stafford. It's like Brian Flores knew. It was like, you know, Matthew Stafford's a bad dude. I can't have the same game plan against the 49ers. So I was shocked at the way the Rams moved the ball up and down the field against Minnesota. I was blown away by that.
Well, and Puka is a star.
Yeah.
Cooper Kupp's lost a step because he's been injured a lot. Still a good player. Very good player. I don't know if I'd give him a second round pick, but still a very, very good player. Puka Nacua, I mean, he pops.
Yeah, he
does.
He
just pops. The guy is a really, really, really good player. If we get like a fraction of that kind of production from Ricky Pearsall this year, we'll be lucky.
That's how
good he is.
He's a legit rookie record for receiving yards and catches last season. Let's go to Chris in San Antonio before the break. Chris, what's happening?
Bonte Shasky, we got Niner fans out here in San Antonio, Texas, that are ready for this game. Let me tell you, I live behind enemy lines. I got brother-in-laws. I got two brothers that are Cowboy fans. I am tired of the talking. We need to lace it up. We need to take it to them. We have a much better team, and I got my six-year-old daughter that's walking around with a sad face because our boys aren't handling business. We need the young men to step up. We need the running game going. And where's my defense at? Can my defense get a stop? Can my dogs eat?
All right, Chris.
Well, my
dog's ready to go. He's behind enemy lines in San Antonio, Texas. We'll go behind enemy lines. Coming up next with our main man, Mike Bassick from 105.3 The Fan. He's a big-time Mavericks fan, so we'll touch on Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson looked good. 707 is asking us on the Comcast Business Text Line. How'd our boy Klay do? Klay did pretty well. He did pretty well. What did he have, 22 points, 7 rebounds? 6 of 11?
I think he had like 10 in the first quarter.
I mean, he was hooping, and he had some wide open.
This is Klay Thompson.
Maybe it was first half.
No, he was hooping. He was hooping. And he broke a Mavericks record for most threes in a debut with 6 made threes. So Dallas and Kenny Smith on the Inside the NBA, man, was really talking him up. He was like, this guy can help them win a championship. So we'll get into that with Mike Bassick and how they're feeling about Klay Thompson. Don't forget all guests. On 95.7 The Game, a pure on the River Islands guest line. Is it a time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? And that is what's coming up on The Game, brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Mike Bassick, coming up next.
Took a dribble, and Luka started to run the other way.
Truthfully, if he got the ball at that free throw line every single time, I don't know how you would guard him.
Thompson from Doncic.
Well, now we have
three,
and now he has the record in his debut.
What up? What up? This is Big Pump from South City. You are now listening to the Morning Motherfucking Rose with my boys Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
TNT Sports. Who's that? Harlan. Kevin Holland, TNT Sports. We're going to go behind enemy lines in just a second here. Mike Bassick, don't forget this segment is sponsored by a great friends at Golden State Lumber. That's right, Golden State Lumber. Go check them out, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. We got Mike Bassick on the line. Let's go behind enemy lines.
When you need to learn about your opponent, you have to go behind enemy lines. Learning what we need to know about the 49ers' next opponent.
All right, let's go behind enemy lines on the River Islands guest line. Mike Bassick joins us on the River Islands guest line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Is it a time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? We like Mike so much, we don't even give up the record-breaking home run he gave up out here in San Francisco. We just know him from down in 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, and he's the one guy from that station who will come on with us these days. As your boys, RJ and Sean, have a nice little riff going back and forth with Jerry Jones. Mike, I hope you're doing well, man. Hell of a job on the Rangers this year, and I know you're fired up over the Mavericks, which we'll get to in just a second. How you doing, my man?
We're doing great here, man. It's good to talk to my guys in San Francisco. How you guys doing?
You know, Mike, I'm doing great, and I do want to say something. I know we have like a teasing, joking thing with RJ and Sean. I thought Jerry Jones, and this is going back a couple of weeks, these are your colleagues, you know, and I thought what he did was so wrong on so many levels. A, he doesn't own Odyssey, and B, for him to do that, like, I'm a big believer in, like, don't treat the barista at the coffee shop like crap. You know, don't treat people, you know, that you think in your mind you're better than or above, like, I don't know. I thought it was such a horrible, ugly look, and it made Jerry sound like an idiot. What was the fallout locally, though? Like, you're taking calls from the fans. Like, I felt bad for RJ and Sean. I thought they got rawed by Jerry Jones.
Yeah, I would say 99%. I'll give 1% that are just the loyalist of the loyalist Jerry Jones fans were maybe on Jerry's side. But 99% of not only Dallas-Fort Worth, but really the whole football community was like, that was really wrong by Jerry Jones. But he made sure not to apologize this week. We have him today at 10:30. You know, we'll ask them San Francisco questions and stuff like that. The thing that frustrates me, and, you know, it's one of the reasons that I struggle to be a Cowboys fan now, is Jerry Jones and his family, is, you know, they would lose. I remember they lost at one point. It was the San Diego Chargers at one point. This is probably about a decade ago to Phillip Rivers. And they get hammered, and it looks like they're probably not going to make the playoffs, and the season's going down the drain. And he walks into the locker room, and they have the audio of it. And he's like, guys, I just want you to have a great Thanksgiving. Go home. Enjoy your time. I know this wasn't a good game for us, but we'll be okay. We'll be fine. Why don't you talk to your players when they aren't trying their best, when it looks like effort is lacking, when they play a team like San Francisco and they start playing a physical caliber of game and the Cowboys love quitting in those games? Why don't you get on them for that? Why are you getting on Sean and RJ, who literally have nothing to do with the wins or losses of your team?
You know, Mike, that's such a great point. And he talked about this week the privilege. Shasky knows. I've long been anti-Jerry Jones. I think he's arrogant. I think he's smug. And this week, I didn't even see this until yesterday. Apparently, he's telling Mike McDaniel or Mike McCarthy, like, hey, we're just designing bad plays. So now you're throwing your head coach under the bus with the media stuff. The fact that he's holding press conferences after game is one thing, but now you're throwing your coach under the bus over and over and over again. It's probably Mike McCarthy's probably seeing the writings on the wall if he doesn't get to the playoffs. He's probably out, right?
100%. Yeah, his contract is up at the end of the year. What Jerry Jones likes doing is saying, like, I didn't fire him. It's just his contract was up and we decided to go in another direction. I don't know if this is going to happen, but man, when they lost to the New Orleans Saints, and I'm sorry, I'm forgetting their offensive coordinator's name.
Couldn't
have praised. Yes, you could. The Jones family, Steven and Jerry, came on the radio, and you couldn't have praised a human being more on another team. So I'm just remember that. I think that is one of the people that they will be thinking about in the offseason very hard if the Cowboys don't make the playoffs.
What about Belichick? Would Belichick even want that job?
Well, so here's what I think with Belichick, and I'll throw this out as an opinion. Is he Tom Landry in 1991? Like, I know Landry didn't coach in 89, and Landry had a really tough time his last 3 or 4 years in Dallas. I get the genius of Belichick, and Belichick is arguably the greatest coach of all time. Is Belichick still a great, unbelievable coach, or was he a great and unbelievable coach? I don't know, and we'd only know as if he took another job. I just don't see Jerry doing that because Jerry doesn't care anymore. He has the gold jacket. He has 3 Super Bowls. He has a $10 billion franchise. He cares about power. He cares about brand. He cares about money. And then we start getting to, then he cares about winning. And so if you won, let's just say Belichick came in and within 2 years you won the Super Bowl, what would you guys be saying in San Francisco about how the Cowboys won the Super Bowl?
I don't know. I guess it would be on.
I think you'd say it's Bill Belichick who did it. Finally, they hired Bill Belichick, a coach, and can you believe it? And see, Jerry would hate that. That's the worst thing in the world. That's Jerry would rather lose his way than win, and Bill Belichick get the credit for changing the culture and changing the franchise. So to me, I don't think he can hire a Bill Belichick, because if he were to win a Super Bowl, the credit goes to Bill Belichick, and he can't stand that people like me say it was Jimmy Johnson's championships. Jerry was doing all the marketing. It was amazing what he did, a genius in marketing and turning a franchise into the most profitable franchise in the history of sports. But he had nothing to do with the football product from 1989 to 1995.
It's interesting because, like, I was saying, like, well, I guess Belichick found a way to win with Dak in the playoffs. You know what I mean? Like, I was thinking of all the different ways that it would land.
But
it's a good point. No, it's a really good point. Like, speaking of Dak, obviously being the Cowboy quarterback comes with, you know, the spotlight and the amount of money he makes is a big deal. Red zone offense is 30th in the league. He's got multiple turnovers the last couple weeks in the red zone. Him and CD, I was looking at the advanced numbers. They're not clicking like they were in years past. What is going on? And then I got this guy, Rico Dowdle, who looks good 1 week and then can't get enough touches the following week because of Zeke. What's going on with the offense as a whole for the Dallas Cowboys?
It's horrible. I am afraid Dak is going to take some shots from your 49ers defensive line that he might not be able to just immediately get up from. The offensive line is young. They're playing a rookie center. They're playing a rookie tackle. Zach Martin, unfortunately, I'm not saying he looks like he's done, but he's not the Zach Martin that you think of as 100% Hall of Famer, arguably the best guard in the game. He's having an average year for an NFL guard, which isn't bad, but now that he is regressing, and then you have 2 rookies, the offensive line isn't great. Dak is a good quarterback. That drives Dallas people insane. He's not great. He's not bad. He's good. But when you get into the red zone and everything gets condensed, and man, do you have to be quick decision making, quick with accuracy, you know, put the ball on time, on target, because if not, it can get knocked down. It can get tipped. It can get intercepted. When the field gets condensed, that's where a guy like Dak Prescott definitely needs a running game. Cowboys don't have it. Or he needs to go back to before he was injured, and he needs to be able to, you know, have somewhat of a read option play, and then he takes off and runs for 5 yards into the end zone or for a first down with a condensed field. He can't really do that anymore physically, so he is limited when the field gets smushed down and the windows become smaller.
All right, Mike Bacsik here on the River Islands guest line talking Niners and Cowboys. Sunday Night Football must win for both teams. Niners at 3-4, Cowboys at 3-3. Cowboys come off a bye to get destroyed by the Lions 47-9. Now, Micah Parsons, Mike, sounds like he's unlikely to go. How bad has this defense been? We saw the scores at home, but no Micah Parsons this Sunday, huh? Sounds like he's not going to go.
Brock Purdy will have all the time he needs for his, I know I'm going to take a shot here, but I do think it's real, to his right now below average receiving core because of injuries.
Yeah.
And so if those guys aren't getting separation, San Francisco, maybe they'll have that extra second to get separation, because you have to remember also DeMarcus Lawrence on the other side, your second best defensive player is out too. So you're playing with backup defensive ends, probably the worst defensive tackles in the NFL. So I don't know how great Brock Purdy's going to be because his weapons aren't really there Sunday night. But the one thing you should be able to do, even without Christian McCaffrey, is you should be able to run the ball effectively, and you should have time to make good decisions if you're the quarterback Sunday night.
I got to ask you about the Mavericks, because you love your Mavericks. And last night, we're all watching out here, obviously due to Klay Thompson. And what a debut for Klay Thompson with the Dallas Mavericks. I think it's a perfect landing spot for him. He's going to see. I mean, I don't know if he's been that open the last 2 years. How are you guys feeling down there about Klay Thompson? As you guys advance to the NBA Finals, loss to the Celtics in five, do you guys feel like Klay Thompson's that missing piece to get over the top?
Yes. We know that Oklahoma City is unbelievable. We think that it's kind of like a coin flip. Not that nobody else in the West is good. It's a very competitive West. But we look at Oklahoma City as like that's the team that you're kind of scared of if they can kind of take that next step. And we think they had a good offseason. But Klay Thompson, I was having to tell people, Bonta, for the last, 10 days, can you give Klay Thompson 10 regular season games before you say he's washed up and can't shoot anymore and can't move? And I said, in the regular or in the preseason, Luka didn't play. Klay is going to play off of Luka. He's going to play off of Kyrie Irving, who played a little bit in the preseason. At least give the man who's going to be a Hall of Famer and one of the greatest shooters of all time, can we give him 10 regular season games before you start saying that he's washed and finished? I'm going to throw my guy Choppy under the bus. Yesterday he said, oh, he's going to go 1-for-7 from the field in his debut. And I'm like, hey, maybe he will. You know what? And Klay's going to have some games where he doesn't shoot the ball well. That happens with shooters. But we saw last night the looks that he could possibly get and the impact he could possibly have on this Maverick team. And he looked solid defensively. Obviously, that's a worry with Luka and Kyrie. They're limited defensively, to be nice. And we're just, can Klay be an average defender? Because if he is, let's say, below average, that could be really tough in the closing 5 minutes of games to have Klay, Kyrie, and Luka out there if defensively you can't get stops. But last night it was against, San Antonio, probably a team that's on the outside looking in of the playoffs right now, in my opinion. So it'll be interesting to see when you play Phoenix Saturday night, and maybe he has to guard Durant here and there, or he gets switched on to Booker. Can he kind of keep those guys somewhat in front of him?
Wow. We know Choppy doesn't know much about basketball. Don't take his basketball opinion seriously. We discovered that a few years ago in the Western Conference Finals. Mike, you're always good to us, man. Keep up the great work down there. We'll be listening. We'll roll on the Jerry Jones stuff when he joins your show today at 10:30.
All right, guys. You have a blessed day.
All right, you too. Mike Bacsik, man. He's one of the best down here. 105.3.